You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop, a very special episode of IGN GameScoop. I'm Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week are Justin Davis.
Scoop.
Sam Claiborne. And a very special guest, IGN co-founder Per Schneider is joining us this week. And I'm all alone in this giant studio in LA, and Justin is in a room by himself at his home in an undisclosed location. Don't try to find
him. You don't know that I'm by myself.
That's true. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe hiding off camera there. As I said, very special episode this week. It is time. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's time for the Dammy Awards. I will render my verdict on all the games and movies and TV shows I watched this year. I know everyone, the world will be able to exhale soon. But first, I wanted to share. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. Let me get my run of show going up here. Let me just open up my laptop here. Okay.
Whoa. Good.
But first, I wanted to share one of my misadventures in gaming. I have to replace my launch PS5 DualSense controller.
Oh, no.
I have to get a new one. It didn't really break, but last night I was playing Astrobot, and now something inside of it, the haptics, is just like spinning. Always. And I can still use the controller, but it's spinning. And like once a second, I hear something like turn over and go click. And I can hear it and feel it while I hold it in the controller. And it won't stop. Even if I turn off the controller, if I turn off my console, when I turn it back on again, it just starts going.
You need to be really concerned if you still hear the spinning and clicking when the battery's dead.
Or when I get a new controller.
Yeah, it could be spider babies. Have you considered spider babies?
That's true.
What game are you playing right now?
I was playing Astrobot last night with my son, but I'm at the final boss of Callisto.
Okay. So you don't think it's like an insanity effect, like an eternal darkness that's just chasing you?
Yeah. I mean, maybe.
You could also just sync some Joy-Con to your PS5. Those never break.
Mm-hmm. They're very reliable. Yeah, also, very too reliable. Small for spider babies.
In any case, I've already ordered a new DualSense controller. The bright neon blue one seemed to
that'll be a good deterrent to egg sack laying.
Yeah, for sure. They don't like the bright. They don't like bright lights. They're they're like gremlins that way.
Yeah.
Yep. You can't feed them after midnight. Or only feed them after midnight. That's no one knows which is which.
Okay, let's get right into it. The Dammy Awards, the only game awards. Of course, you know, there's a lot at stake here. Usually, you know, a game that wins a Dammy Awards sails
of that game will then increase by 1,000,000,000%.
Well, then they really are.
I don't know why no one, else really has ever tried to make Game Awards before.
That's the weirdest
it's
thing.
The only.
Yep.
It's the only Game Awards. On the only gaming podcast, we're gonna run things a little bit differently this year. We're gonna start with the big one right off the bat. It's this whole year the sort of elephant in the room has been Elden Ring versus God of War. We're gonna start with the best game I played and the best movie I saw this year awards. And I'm only half joking about this. So here we go.
Okay. Only Elden half Ring. Joking. Okay.
Elden Ring is the best game I played this year, mm-hmm. and God of War Ragnarok is the best movie I watched this year.
Oh.
And again, and that's not even, I'm not even trying to be snarky. I love both of these interactive pieces of entertainment very much, and I think they're just very different at what they're trying to accomplish. And Elden Ring is pure game. It's all gameplay. There's no point in that game where you can just set your controller down and watch the story unfold for several minutes. You can't put your controller down because you can't pause that game. As opposed to God of War Ragnarok, where you're constantly doing that. You get to play through the combat sections, and you get to sort of explore when the game doesn't want to deliver you exposition and story, but there's a lot of it that you're very passive. And it's fine. They're both just very different things. And I think in terms, if you consider God of War Ragnarok a very, very long movie, it's probably the best movie I saw this year. The caveat there is I don't see as many movies as I used to. I can tell you exactly the movies I saw in theaters this year were The Batman, Top Gun Maverick, Doctor Strange 2, and Thor Love and Thunder. And that's it.
Yeah. I first thought you were being snarky, but there was a moment in God of War, like when Freya is like lamenting the death of a child and all of that. And like, I was like, man, like the performance was so good. And the way, you know, it wasn't just the delivery. It was the way, like her facial expressions, the whole way the character was acting on motion capture to be acting. It was just really, really good.
I was spinning in a circle during that scene. It didn't have as much emotional impact.
But I will also say, like, my initial perception of God of War when I started to play it was, wow, this feels much more linear than, you know, a lot of games that I played that year, because I came off, mm-hmm. you know, playing games like Tunic and all of that. And, like this
Picross.
Felt very, very, yeah, Picross, also not that linear. You know, obviously game of the year every
choose
year.
Whatever tile yeah. you damn want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any puzzle you want.
Tile right. you damn want.
150
yeah. If you want to go to the hardest one, right at the end, you can do that from the very beginning. You can go to Ganon's castle.
And the hardest
castle.
Puzzle is Ganon.
Yep. Yep.
Did we all, four of us, beat God of War? Pair, did you beat it?
No, I'm not done yet.
All right. Okay. We'll just tell you the end so we can talk about it.
Yeah. Don't say it. Don't do it.
No spoilers here.
Yeah, okay. No movie spoilers.
Okay, the 10 best games. The 10 best games I played this year in roughly the order that I played them were Horizon Forbidden West, Elden Ring, Rogue Legacy 2, Stray, Hero Emblems 2, which is a mobile game that I've put like 36 hours into, Mario plus Rabbids, Sparks of Hope, Return to Monkey Island, Marvel Snap, God of War Ragnarok, and Atari 50.
It looks like he's at a little podium.
Dude, cheating though. Atari 50, that's more than just one game.
So. Yeah, well, except the truth is watching all of the videos is really like the fun part. The game's not that much fun to play.
Oh, but Vector Scepter in Sector, whatever it's called.
Vector Sector. Are you saying that Atari 50 is maybe more of a documentary show than a video game?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, maybe okay. I should put it in the documentary category.
Yeah, let's put it in
And then it'd have to go up against Light and Magic.
That let's was put a it good in a documentary series.
Yeah, it was really good.
That was so good.
That was really good. Some honorable mentions for games this year are Cult of the Lamb and Jack Move, two indie games which I liked very much and I wish I could have played more of, but I ran into game-breaking bugs in both of them, and my progress was halted.
Wow. Now, you have and an advantage TMNT. Over others that you could have included High in Life in the Damies. That didn't crack your top 10?
I haven't started High in Life yet.
Okay. I very much enjoy it.
I feel like it has too many jokes for Damon.
Well... Perhaps. Yeah. No, I think we'll see. he could handle the joke volume. You don't have to. You can turn off the jokes. Did you know that?
Is that true?
No. Yeah.
True.
Then it's just a shitty shooter. No, it is true. It is true.
True.
Yes. Yes.
You can turn off the jokes.
You can turn off. You can turn down the amount of speaking that your guns does.
What?
In the settings.
But then, but what's
the whole
that.
Point of the game?
Yeah, the
that's
gun
the
tells
whole
you
game.
That.
Yeah, you got nothing left then.
Yeah, and it's actually not a shitty shooter. It's a fun game and a funny game, both. I like it very much. I can't wait to play more of it.
I'm liking it.
Damon Hatfield, famously not a fan of humor. No, just doesn't care for it.
Very serious.
I don't get it. Yeah. I don't get it.
I don't get it.
All right. The best game I played this year that wasn't released this year was Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon. I think that was from last year, but I picked it up for Switch when it was on sale, and it's fantastic. If anyone hasn't played it, Per, you'd probably like it. Have you played that one?
I played a little bit. I liked it. Yeah. It's like one of those. Games. Yeah, it's a casualty of having too many games.
Yeah.
It's just
it's
too
one
much.
Of those grid-based dungeon crawlers where the enemies only move when you do, and then there's a bunch of different knights that you can unlock in the game, and each one has different abilities and weaknesses and that sort of thing. So, oh, and it's also a roguelike, so it's different every time. Firing on all cylinders as a Damon game. That one was really great. Best pixel art of the year. I'd say the nominees would be Triangle Strategy, TMNT Shredder's Revenge, Cursed to Golf, and
Damn.
Jack Move.
Those are all good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll give it to Jack Move.
Wow.
Triangle Strategy is great, and I love that HD 2D style, but the game is such a slog and it's so wordy that eventually I just sort of soured on the whole thing. And
it's the best pixel art category.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Yep.
What, like the words?
I just soured on the game.
In the words?
I just soured on the game. This is Jack Move, but no, we're not seeing the pixel art, unfortunately.
Well, last year the best pixel art award went to a movie, so you can see the leniency that we get in the Damies from here.
I'm also going to give best music to Jack Move. So Jack Move is going to win both best pixel art and best music this year. Although I also like the music. I like the music in God of War Ragnarok, Horizon, Sifu, and Shredder's Revenge. But Jack Move is just like an electronic music soundtrack that I would listen to anytime outside the game. Best classic game re-release, not fair this year. Got to go to Atari 50. There's also the TMNT Cowabunga collection, also by Digital Eclipse. Both excellent collections, but there's just a lot more packed into Atari 50.
Nice.
Radiant Silver Gun hit Switch, but that was only one game. How can it compete?
Live Alive, or is that a remake that doesn't count?
Live Alive, I just haven't gotten a chance to check out yet.
Okay, fair enough.
I loved it. This is the first time I got to play
it. That's really good.
And I really, really loved it.
You lived it?
Yeah. I lived it.
I like the Wild West chapter was my favorite.
Yeah, although I don't get how you can lose the town invasion part. It doesn't seem like you could have a problem there. Like, you're supposed to set up traps. I didn't really understand it. And then I screwed it up completely and it was still fine. I like wiped out all the enemies in like one hit. Why is that?
It's like a movie.
It's the best movie I've watched this year, actually. Now that I'm thinking about it, the Western scene in Live Alive. It's better than a Doctor Strange movie, I'll tell you that.
That's fair.
I like that movie. It wasn't bad. But that scene in Live Alive. What? How do we get a Taika Waititi Thor movie this year that wasn't the greatest thing that happened to us?
It's a big question mark, right? Thor Ragnarok is great. Get the whole band back together to make a sequel, but something's missing and no one can really put their finger on it.
Yeah. Maybe it's better on TV.
It's too much of those goats.
Yeah. Yeah, the goats were not funny. That was like a joke from 10 years ago, the screaming goats.
Well, they were funny like the first time, and then it's like, well, okay, you remember those goats? They're back. Are you laughing yet?
All right. Best Arcade Archives release I'm going to give to Dragon Saber, which is the sequel to Dragon Spirit. And it's a much more playable game today than the original Dragon Spirit was.
Coveted award.
So, wait, you are the guy who's playing all the hamster re-releases?
Yeah, he does them all.
Not all of them. I only buy the ones that I know are good. But I was going to do a most obscure Arcade Archives release award, but it's comical. They're all really obscure.
Oh, there's some good ones.
Just pick one.
Also, they keep going back to like sometimes when a game came out in the US, but they don't have the license, they go back to the Japanese name and bring it out under that. Yep. It's awesome. Yes. I keep a list of all the hamster releases on IGN playlist, and I laugh every week when I update it.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
It's so good.
Dragon Saber is my pick for that. And then, speaking of dragons, the best dragon I encountered in a game this year, it's actually not from Elden Ring, a game that's full of dragons. The best dragon was in Rogue Legacy 2. It's Layden the Dragon, which you meet kind of late in the game. And he's just an awesome, very, very big dragon that takes up a bunch of the screen. He's animated in a very cool way. And he's also a good boy. He's not. You don't fight him. He's your friend.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Good dragon.
Oh. Right.
Yeah. He's a good one.
That Mega Man 2 had a good dragon in it.
Yeah, but that wasn't released this year. Try to stay
But I played it.
Focused.
Okay.
Moving into TV, there's lots, like I said, lots of great TV this year. The best new TV show that I watched this year, nominees would be Peacemaker, Tokyo Vice, pair. Severance, this is also roughly in order that I watched. Severance.
Good.
Pam and Tommy, House of the Dragon, Andor, and Cyberpunk Edge Runners. I'm going to give the award to Severance, which just incredible first season of TV. A premise that you can explain in a sentence or two, but that is so deep, I feel like you could make a whole anthology series just exploring different ways that premise would affect different people.
You recommend Pam and Tommy? I didn't watch that.
Oh, it's so good.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
It's very good.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's a limited series.
What's it on?
The internet.
Hulu, I want to say.
I think it was on Hulu, cool. Yeah.
So it is accessible. It's not some AMC series that I'll be able to watch.
It's there.
Cool.
Not like it's on...
Sorry, if you would have watched it, I think 1899 would have made it onto your shortlist.
It just came out.
Okay,
it's on Netflix.
Oh,
it's
that
so
one,
good.
That one. Okay,
it's like the weird Bermuda Triangle stuff.
It's German.
It is German, but they have a. I think they realize that you guys don't like it when we speak German, so they added lots of English speaking and Japanese speaking characters.
Oh, interesting.
Too.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of characters on a boat, and they all speak their native
Got
language.
It. Okay.
Yeah, they're getting wise to.
That's pretty
clever. They're getting
wise
to it.
And it's good?
Yeah.
It's a mystery box show, so it's like
Lost.
You know, it's like Lost.
Cool.
I only ever watched the first season of Dark, but I really liked it.
Well, it goes crazy.
It got weird.
1899 goes really crazy, too. You're like, oh, this is kind of weird. Cool. And then by episode 6, you're like, I don't know.
I hope there's
a new
Babylon Berlin soon. I missed that show. That show's great.
That was also good, yeah. But that was all in German.
That's also
when
I only ever watched the first season.
I had to watch it in German too. Ugh.
What
Sam?
Okay.
That's good.
The best ongoing TV show that I watched this year. Not new, ongoing. Euphoria season 2 was great. Better Call Saul, not ongoing anymore, but also great. The final season aired this year. White Lotus season 2 just wrapped up, which is
Loved
fantastic.
Yep.
Anyone else?
Hell
anyone,
yeah.
That was, watched all that?
The last Glad episode is great.
It's torture though. Like watching it is torture. Well, the payoff in the end is amazing, but
it's like Curb Your Enthusiasm without any humor. Oh. It's very difficult to watch, but very, very fun. And I couldn't wait for, it was the only show this year where I couldn't wait for the last episode. Like we were like refreshing the HBO feed to like get it. I just loved it.
Very good.
Yep. I think season 2 is right up there with season 1 for me, probably.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. And then also What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh.
The show that I was
good season.
Ready to be done with after season 3, but then season 4 ended up being
really
hilarious.
Good season.
So it's like,
All right.
So good.
And of course, I have to give the win to Better Call Saul. Breaking Bad. Ever since it aired, as a knee-jerk reaction, I've always just said that's my favorite TV show of all time. But now I probably have to reassess because it's possible Better Call Saul be a little bit better than Breaking Bad, just because like that writer's room has so much experience now. Best writer's room in the business, hands down. They're like you hear talk about like moments feeling earned in TV shows. Like they take the time, they take however much time it needs to let their characters develop and let all the pieces fall in place so that when things happen, it happens in the most satisfying way possible. You can't predict what's going to happen, but whatever happens feels perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
And Rhea Seehorn, her performance, especially in the last episode, is just that's like one of my favorite episodes of television ever. So good.
Yep. I guess you haven't watched that yet, Sam, right? The final season?
No, because it's you have to buy the individuals or something right now. It won't be streaming for a long time.
Because it's AMC, and AMC hasn't heard about the internet.
Yeah, but I've seen the first 10, of the season, and I love where it ended. And I think about it sometimes, and I think about, like it sticks with me a lot more than other things, so I can't wait to watch it. I just got to figure it out. Maybe we'll just shell out over the break and watch it.
You should treat yourself.
Yeah, maybe. I just feel so weird having like a digital ownership of any thing.
It is weird. Yeah, with AMC, you have to move fast, right? Because the episodes are only available for a certain amount of time.
It's
very strange.
Yeah. Also, I'd recommend, I still recommend you return and try Our Flag Means Death. I think it ends in a place that's as funny as What We Do in the Shadows. It just has a slower start than it should. And it goes to a fantastic romance story. That's just great. I
ignored it.
It's great. It's Taika Waititi. Mm-hmm. Same. Some of the same cast members from his other stuff. It's great.
All right. Final Dammy Award, best kill gag this year. Everyone knows I like big fan of fake violence in entertainment. Let's see the nominees. Perry, I think you watched Archive 81, right?
Yeah, you too.
I didn't watch that one.
Which? Oh, you didn't watch that one. No. Okay, I actually didn't finish the show because it wasn't. I didn't think it was that great. However, in episode 4, there's a good kill gag, which I will now explain. They're having a séance to like contact the dead. And they make contact, but then like something goes wrong, and the medium woman, like she like starts freaking out, and she has long fingernails, and she just starts like wailing and clawing at her face, and like basically just like scratching her face off and all in her eyeballs, and the camera's like up close and doesn't cut away. I don't know if she actually died from that.
Irrelevant.
But it's a really good gory gag. It
was
really
Sounds good. Like she was already.
I don't know if we. I don't know how we should handle kill gags from movies. I don't know. There's a good one in Doctor Strange 2. Actually, there's several.
Yeah.
But there's a really good one in Doctor Strange 2.
Yes, that's right. With all the cameo characters, right?
Yeah, all those are really good. Mm-hmm. Whatever. I'm going to say Black Bolt. Black Bolt's death is
that
a great
kill gag. Okay. And that's Anson Mount.
Yep.
And that is Anson Mount.
And you got to...
What's that?
No, I feel like you got to play High on Life if you have a kill gag category, because that entire game, there's a kill gag for every kill.
Totally is.
Oh. Well, there's also Callisto Protocol, which is basically kill gags the game, but
yeah.
Right.
You just get it loses at the fifth time you see like your head get chopped in half diagonally, you're like, "Okay. All right, everyone." And then there's good ones from The Boys, right? Boys always good for good kill gags.
Oh my god.
Termite.
Yeah. You don't need to
sneezing
that
inside.
One.
Yeah. Okay. Sneezing inside a delicate part of someone else and exploding. And then I think A-Train dragging Blue Hawk at top speed across the pavement was really, really good too.
That first kill gag you mentioned, that's when my wife said, "Okay, I don't need to watch the season." She literally just bowed out. She's like, "Okay, that's it."
Every death from A-Train is insane.
So bad.
Like, it's just so explosive and insane.
Gross.
Yeah, that was a really good one. But I'm going to give the win to Black Bolt in Doctor Strange 2.
What about White Lotus?
Out loud. I don't really think... no, that doesn't count.
Are you kidding me?
Don't say anything.
The action happens off screen. It's like, that was a great scene. But not a kill gag, I don't think.
I think the one.
Yeah, I think so too.
The one. At the end of all
yes.
Again, good scene, not a particularly notable kill gag, I don't think. It doesn't fit my definition.
We were shouting.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It is. It's great. It's great. Perfect ending. I love it.
All right.
This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the US. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. 1 in 5 Americans has learn a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, Pear, what do you think is the best game you played this year?
I think it's still, look, I'm still not done with God of War, and I really enjoy it. I'm a big fan of, you know, Naughty Dog style, kind of more linear games like Uncharted that open up and have some kind of exploration and going back to areas. But it isn't my favorite right now. Like, I made my list. I think Tunic is still number one.
Same, you took mine.
Yeah,
that's a great choice.
Say, for you, Sam.
No, like, more questions.
My top five is Tunic, God of War, Xenoblade Chronicles 3, Mario plus Rabbids, and then number five, I'm still torn. We'll see. I haven't finished Elden Ring. I have to do that too. But, like, you know, same. It's between, you know, the Horizon, Splatoon, Live Alive, that sort of ilk.
Live Alive was so fun. Mm-hmm. I had a great time playing that this year.
Mm-hmm.
Sam, Tunic is your number one?
Yeah, Tunic number one. Live Alive would be up there. I did like God of War. I wouldn't, you know, go Game of the Year for it. Elden Ring, you know, I need to try the Daimy strategy of replaying it as a samurai. Is that right? With the sneak up weapon?
That's what I played.
Yep. I need to do it. I just need to go back to it with that. And then, those are my picks. I played a lot of other games this year, but they happen to be from the end of last year, and those are a lot of my favorites too. So, you know. Yeah. You know what? And I will say this. I didn't mind Gotham Knights. I thought I had a fun time with that game. And you know what else?
Oh, Gotham Knights?
Sonic's pretty fun too.
Actually, Midnight Suns just came out, and I feel like the paint is still wet on that one. I think it's really good, if you haven't played that yet.
Yeah, but I want to play that one.
But
I haven't gotten to that one.
But it's kind of like Rabbids. I expected to like Rabbids because I liked the first one. I was surprised how good the second one was and how much better it was. And right now, in the battle of turn-based strategy games that don't feel like turn-based strategy games because they're faster, I feel like Rabbids is still a little bit ahead of Midnight Suns.
And I'm bummed I didn't get to turn on my Switch a whole lot this year. I played all of the retro games that came out, a lot of those, and then I have Rabbids. I need to play it, but, you know, I wasn't into Kirby, and it just wasn't a great year. I wasn't into Splatoon.
Kirby is like, that game is our go-to for co-op. There have been so many great co-op experiences on Switch this year as well. And, like,
that's a good call,
Kirby,
actually.
As a dad with kids, we just keep going back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin, you could give Factorio the award for best game you played this year that didn't come out this year.
I mean, I can give it, it's my award. I can give it whatever award I want.
I'll have to check with the committee on that. I'm not sure.
I honestly forgot about Kirby. Kirby was great. We played through it co-op, although I don't like that the co-op player is such a second fiddle. Like, you know, you're playing this little Waddle Dee that has a spear. Like, I wish you were on, like, slightly more even footing with Kirby. Because then I liked Live Alive a lot, too. So it's a tough choice. No, if it's games that came out this calendar year, it has to be God of War, although the sequel to Golf Story, what is it called? Sports Story is supposed to still be coming out this month. So, we'll see if that stealth drops really this week or any time. But I'm so obsessed with Factorio. You guys have no idea. I just checked while we were chatting. I've played 128 hours of it. And that's not even over the course of this calendar year. That's over the course of, like, the last 5 weeks. Like, it's completely crazy. I'm like, I just took a work trip to the East Coast. I'm like, maybe I can take a mouse with me and install the game on my work computer. Is that weird? I'm not even going to get into what I like about it. But, like, what the thing that's keeping me going is that it's so highly moddable that that you can basically play, like, there's total conversion mods that turn it into a totally different game. So it's like, I'm playing Factorio on Steam in air quotes, but it's not, it's totally different. Like, all the technology is different. I'm playing this mod called Crastorio 2. That's, that just completely changes everything about the game. And then I'm going to play another one after that. And I'm pretty sure I'm just going to play this game for 2000 hours.
I mean, it's definitely, I know about your obsession with this game, but I figured you would turn it off for Dwarf Fortress.
Well, that's the journey that I went on. That's what started this whole thing, is I started playing Dwarf Fortress on Steam, and that was great. And then I went back to RimWorld on Steam, and that was great. And then that road led me back to Factorio, which, you know, is not a new game to me. I played it several years ago, but now I'm like back in it full force. And so, yeah, I mean, Dwarf Fortress is, it's in my top five games of all time ever made. And so, yeah, I'm going to put 100 hours into that too, but not until I get my fill of Factorio, I guess.
When I eventually get my Steam Deck, I'll check these games out.
I reviewed Atari 52 and I gave it a very high score, and I love that game as well. I think that was a high watermark in like, that's right. It's just Atari 50. I very much enjoyed it. And I think I would, you know, consider that as one of the best games I played this year, even though it was a multimedia experience.
It is interesting because, like, when you go back and you play NES games and Super NES games and Genesis games, and then you go back and play Atari VCS or Jaguar, they don't hold up, right? No, like no. A lot of, like, I grew up with the Atari VCS and I played a lot of those games as a kid, and I thought, you know, Yar's Revenge looked so freaking awesome and realistic. Mm-hmm. And you play them now, you're like, oh, all right, after 10 minutes, I'm done, right?
Plus it's one button. But that makes it
they did
too.
Such a wonderful job kind of like telling the story and then interspersing the game experiences with it. And some of the remake stuff is genuinely great and has really good multiplayer gameplay.
And
too.
The arcade collection holds up. Arcade That's machines, true. They're not the best way to they play do. Them because of controller issues, but they did a good job and they look well. They look good. Even the Vector ones are presented pretty well. And now we have 4K TVs, like Vector games can look pretty awesome. So it's just cool. I recommend it just for that era alone. And then the weird other end, which is like, have you ever played a Jaguar game? Well, like, you can play some in this.
You shouldn't.
But they're crazy.
But also the games that got canceled that they resurrected. In some cases, they released code that was near finished or finished. Yeah. In some cases, they had to make up a new game because
Sword
the third...
Quest, Airworld?
Airworld was never made, so right? Cool. So it's just really unique and awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, Atari 50 is great. Elden Ring and God of War are great. There's no conveyor belts in them, though. So
there is in one game in the Atari 50 collection called Cloak and Dagger. It's very conveyor belt themed. Mm-hmm. Check
okay,
it out.
Cool.
Check
okay,
cool.
Okay, I take it back. Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's a great note. Mm-hmm.
All right, the big question, and Per, we'll start with you. Was 2022 a good year for video games?
Yeah, I think it was a really good year for video games because when I get to the end of the year and my backlog looks insane, I know that there was just more greatness than I could honestly play and fit into my professional and family life. And, I mean, I have the perfect excuse. I can tell my wife that I need to play a game because we covered it at IGN, right?
Yeah,
and still, despite that, I couldn't finish everything. You know, I own all the consoles and I love playing classic games as well. But it's not the best game for video game, best year for video games, right? Like years.
No, not the best. Just was it a good one?
Yeah, I think it was a good one. I think looking at the games that were originally supposed to come out this year would have probably made this a banner year compared to some of the greatest. Mm-hmm. And now a lot of those games have moved into next year. And if they don't move out of next year, I think next year might become the best year ever. Like, yeah, the lineup is insane.
Yeah. Sam, Justin, agree, disagree? Good year, bad year?
I mean, I think it's a bad year. I think it would give it a 4 or something like that.
Yeah, why was it too. Bad?
Or yeah.
Because it didn't have Zelda.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else I need to say about this. Like, wait, all the games I wanted to play, Starfield and Zelda and everything, got moved out of it. The games that were around to play, other people liked a lot, and I respect people having a good year and playing the games they liked, but for me, it was not a lot of AAAs that I connected with.
Okay, but Atari Collection, you got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I already have an Atari Collection.
Done like a classic game. There was insane stuff this year.
I mean, I agree with Sam. Like, it's like horrible, but I think 4 out of 10, like, that's probably about where I land too. Which sounds like so dismissive to all the really awesome games we're talking about, right? That, like, I don't want the takeaway to be like, oh, that means those two don't like Tunic and don't like this other stuff. But it's like you're comparing it relative to other years in gaming history. Yeah. And like when I think about 2022, the next gen consoles are still not impressing very much. They're still hard to find, and we're still seeing a lot of cross gen games. There's not like eye-popping, technology-driving forward game experiences. So much stuff was delayed. The Switch is old. Like, we're all ready for kind of a new Switch, and we're not going to get one of those for a while. Like, it was, you know, like, one of my most memorable experiences, besides Factorio, was Cyberpunk, which is, you know, which is also an old game. So that's a lot of people filled a lot of time with stuff that didn't come out this calendar.
Maybe you should play some new games. No, I look,
there weren't any.
I obviously, it's highly subjective, right? I love turn-based strategy and role-playing games. And, like, I never thought... And one of my favorite games when I was in my 20s was Live Alive. And I never thought we'd ever see this game again. And not only did they finally localize it, they upgraded it, they fixed some old issues, you know, created some new ones. And, like, to have Live Alive back was awesome. And then we're getting a turn-based strategy game set in the Mario universe. We're getting one in the Marvel universe. We're getting triangle strategy. We had Shredder's Revenge. I'm looking, like, we had Need for Speed Unbound. Like, nobody played it, but it's actually a good Need for Speed game again from the people that made Burnout. It's just, the story sequences are awful. Monkey Island. We got a new Monkey Island.
That was great.
How is this not a good year?
That was great.
You guys are fawning over, like, Marvel Snap and stuff, so we even had some good mobile games.
Yeah, people love that game.
Marvel Snap is great. And then, Justin, you mentioned Cyberpunk. We should briefly mention Edgerunners.
Oh, Edgerunners is such a good television show. It's like crazy. It's good. One of those cross, like, I think I would recommend it even to people that, well, so, okay, two things. One, I would not recommend it if you don't like, you know, violence and gore. Like, it's so over the top with the level of violence in it. So that is a caveat, but it's one of those crossovers that's like, it's an anime, but it's not just for anime fans. It really is for anybody. And it's just a great story told very, very tightly over 10 episodes. I just can't recommend it highly enough.
Yeah. Both Per and Sam, you should check it out. It's great.
Awesome.
Okay. Over on the website, anyone know what our most popular review was this year?
Which website?
The most read review on IGN.com this year.
Oh, IGN.
It's got to be God of War, right?
I think it's Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Elden Ring, early in the year. That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
It is Elden Ring. Elden Ring was just the most popular game on IGN.com this year. Great, probably because of game help. Very ripe for game help in that one. It wasn't, you know, since we don't review every game anymore, there wasn't the most notable high-profile game that got a lower score, I think, was Gotham Knights with a 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there are a few other games that got lower than a 5, but they're not even things that I had necessarily even heard of. So I think that's probably the most high-profile, low score of the year. And then anyone know what the article we published this year that got the most comments?
Ooh, comments.
Is it related to the Snyderverse?
No, it's got to be drama. It's always drama.
Oh, if it's not Snyderverse, I would really expect that.
It's got to be people are mad over something Xbox did, like buying a big company.
Yeah.
It was the our review of the premiere of Rings of Power.
Oh, okay. Wow. Really?
Most comments.
Did not expect that.
Oh, I did not expect that either.
Probably because of bad things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Also very high profile TV show. One of the best shows I watched.
It annoyed me, but I still enjoyed it. I like any time I can see Tolkien on a screen, I'm happy.
New Zealand looked really cool, right? New Zealand looked really cool.
It's pretty.
I was surprised they were able to use like basically the same assets for things like Balrogs and stuff.
I don't think they asked. Well, you know, some of those are the original artists, illustrations for the books.
Guy, but
not
like,
Tolkien.
Come on, man. Yep. Like, that's so... I mean, so yep.
And Balrog is just Shadow and Flame, so it's right there on the page.
Yeah. Flame of Uruk-hai.
Also, like, they had teased there was going to be a Balrog in it. Come on. It's
he's just hanging
I guess,
out.
Technically... For 1 second.
He was in there 1 second.
He's like, who dropped this?
You again?
I'll be up there in 2,000 years.
Yeah, exactly.
They delve too deep. I never expect that the dwarves delve too deep in the second age. And that's why the Balrog cleared them out in the third age.
Yeah, it waited. It's like, Marg, we got time. Mine first.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Bad plot point.
After everyone, with the amount of people that worked on that show, at no point no one said, should we make any of these characters likable?
Oh, come on,
no
I
one
know.
Stopped to make that suggestion.
I like it's the elf. Power. They were people.
I really like that show. I've just been, it's too far.
I like Sauron. He was nice.
Sauron was really nice.
Sauron is nice.
Yeah.
He's a great deceiver.
Yep. Okay.
I like the priestess with the shaved head. She was cool.
What?
Yeah, creepy.
Yeah. There's a priestess with the shaved head, like a mohawk.
Yeah.
She was cool.
Yeah. Well, not a mohawk.
Yeah, I think she had long hair on the top. It was just down. She shaved on both sides or something. No, one of them was that. The other one was fully shaved. Okay.
For people who haven't watched that show, that is a very minor character.
I mean, probably. They try to make it seem like they're major characters. And then one episode later, they're not.
You all hurt my heart.
You like that
Let's
show
Let's check
a lot?
In with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Oh, my God. Listeners, remember you can always reach us at the email address gamescoop@ign.com, just like Ryan did in Melbourne, Australia. Says, I have a question, but I wanted to ask you all on this special episode. But first, congratulations on an amazing year of Gamescoop. I've loved every episode. I hope you all have a fantastic Christmas and New Year. My question for you all is, what has been your favorite gaming memory of 2022? Mine was just recently when I bought Redout 2 on a Steam sale, and being the huge F-Zero fan I am, I loaded it up, turned the in-game music down to zero, and blasted the F-Zero X Guitar Arrange Edition soundtrack. Having those iconic tunes to a great modern hyperspeed racer just scratched every itch. Pure enjoyment.
I like you. We deserve more F-Zero games.
Hmm. Yeah. Indeed.
Pair, favorite gaming moment of the year?
Honestly, I mean, for me, it was the announcement of Live Alive. Like, yeah, watching the reveal, I'm looking at the footage, I'm like, it seems so implausible that they would ever bring this back, because they had all these years to bring it out and localize it, and I never understood why it wasn't translated. I guess the graphics weren't as nice as Final Fantasy V or whatever. So just seeing that, and then like the gears in my head going like, I know that game. I've played that. I just couldn't believe it. And, you know, it's such a little thing, right? It's not like a big Zelda game or a new Uncharted or GTA 6. It was this little game from my earlier years coming back. And that was really nice. Thank you. More of that. Now, give us Sky Odyssey. Thank you.
And Legend of the Mystical Ninja.
Any of the Goemon games. Thank you.
Sam, for you, was it something related to the in-game instruction manual in Tunic?
Yeah, absolutely. What I really liked is that when we were covering Tunic, a bunch of the staff was playing it, and so many secrets in it, like when you first play Super Mario Brothers or Zelda, and nobody knew where it was going, and everybody was helping each other solve the puzzles, and also documenting them, right? Because we were writing about them at the time for the guide, and I really spent a lot of time with that guide, and especially the late game stuff, and I had a great time doing it, and I worked with a good team on it. I really enjoyed that part of the year.
It was the way the manual is integrated into the game is really special. Like, if in history, sometimes we have games that have an attract mode where you see like a demonstration, and sometimes they contain like spoilers or secrets, like in Metroid, Super Metroid, and it's really cool to like, when you discover that, to have this sort of feeling like, oh, I wonder if anybody else actually watched this and noticed this. Mm-hmm. They're giving a hint to something. And in this game, like, you literally look at these pages and you can't read them. Mm-hmm. And then you come back later and you're like, oh my God, I'm such an idiot. You know, it's just, it feels great to feel like an idiot, is what I'm saying.
I also liked the late game twist in Horizon, a game that hasn't really been mentioned very much. There's a late game transportational upgrade, which I just thought was a really cool moment in that game, and it really redeemed a lot of the slog that I ended up feeling about that game. I thought it was really cool, and I'm sad I only got like a couple hours of gameplay before I was in like a boss end runs.
It was weird to have a child's tricycle though in a game like that. Just kind
well,
of
the
odd.
Little horn though, Oof. So conk conk, like it's fun. Oh. Get out of the way, dinos.
But Sam, that mode is on full display in the trailer for.
That's right, it is. I forgot about that when we were watching that in the office. It's like, oh, is this not a spoiler now that we can watch? But
yeah, I don't think it's a spoiler anymore. Justin, is it something Factorio related for you?
No, I mean it certainly could be. I think it was memories and moments in gaming of the last year, right? Yeah. It's got to be, I think it's probably playing Minecraft with my 8-year-old, because I've talked before on the show, sort of comedically, but mostly seriously, about how it's not fun playing video games with my kids. I find it really stressful and kind of awful. But Minecraft, playing Minecraft with my daughter is the first time I can think of where, like, we were just both having a great time, and I'm not doing it to humor her, or like, you know, just like, I'm happy to spend time with her, so whatever, we'll play a game together. But like, that was the first time we were both just fully absorbed and like, you know, you go over there and build that, and I'm gonna go over here and do this, and we're gonna work together, and like, what do you want me to do next, and now let's go do this, and like, just being really in it together in a video game instead of it being more of like a dad chore was really fun and cool. And like, and now we play together, not actually as often as I would like, but like, you know, it's just like, it's a way that we spend time together now, which is
get
great.
Get a second copy of Sea of Thieves and then just kind of, you know, just sail around. Don't attack anybody. Just have your kid like raise the sails and stuff. That stuff always works.
Yeah. I like having her. I like she's the foreman, and she's like, okay, what do you want me to do? And then I'm the assistant, and I just go off and do it. It's fun. It's a good time.
I have another good video game story that I don't believe I've told on the show yet. It was electronics recycling day in San Francisco in my neighborhood. And I was driving around not looking for stuff, but I had found two monitors, like TVs that like match arcade monitors. I was like, this is a good day because you can pull out the tubes from them and save them and make them into arcade machines, or replace them in arcade machines. So that was kind of fun. And then I'm like going around the block, and I just see an arcade machine on the street. And it was I see like the Williams logo, a very big arcade machine company. It was an 82, 83 era game, silk screened, saw it out of the corner of my eye. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And like, my car is big enough that I can get a game in it. So I was like, I'll do this, but I probably need help. This was on like a block away from my house, like city blocks. They're small, built up, but you could walk around the corner. So, I like call my wife. I'm like, can you help me get this arcade machine in? She's very used to this call. She's like, no, I'm in the shower. And I was like, fuck, you got to get over here anyway.
But do a lot of people throw away arcade machines?
Well, it was electronics recycling day. I guess that's why it was happening. Okay, I've never seen this before. Although I've seen a pinball machine on the street before I knew anything about pinball. So, so I'm like, okay. And then I park the car next to it, and I, open up it's a hatchback, like, you know, SUV. And I open up the trunk, put down the seats, and I start dragging the game over to the curb, like by myself, which is like taller than me and, you know, several times heavier than me. And I'm like moving it. It's like scratching the concrete, and I'm getting it over there. I get it down. I'm like, And so I think I can get it in the car. And I like, you know, I'm having basically an adrenaline rush at this point because I'm so excited. And I like, I tilt the game over, and I like put it on the bumper of the car by myself, which wasn't too bad. And then I just got down on the ground and lifted the back and shoved it in. And I start putting down the hatchback, and it's like kind of fitting in everything. And I get in the car and I turn on the ignition, and my wife walks around the corner. I'm like, damn it. And I was a little bit sore from that example. But I got home and I cracked open the game, and I looked like, why did they throw this out? What's wrong with it? And like the game itself, the game board is just sitting in the bottom of the game. It just fallen off the wall mounts. And that's fine. I just put it back up, and the game turned on, started
Which
playing.
One was it?
It is a really weird game that iRim created, which made Moon Patrol. Everybody knows Moon Patrol. It's their follow-up to Moon Patrol called Moto Race USA, which is like this really cutesy, top-down, lane-shifting game that's just like, it's just super rare and weird, and like you'll never see it again. Like,
well, no, Hamster, don't worry, Hamster is on it. If it's Irem and you shoot, it's it'll Irem come back. Yeah.
How long did it take you to find all the spiders?
There were lots of spiders in it. They're all dead, and they're all of one sort of like a daddy long legs variety that I see in games frequently, but it's not a daddy long legs. They have long legs, but they always make webs, and they're very thin, and they're always in video games.
Do you listen for the spiders? Do you hear like,
no, I feel for them.
Those
like
are Skulltulas, yeah.
That's my game story.
Do you ever run out of room?
I moved this year and I got more room.
Okay.
No, because more than half the games are in an arcade now, so I would be out of room if anything should happen to the arcade. Then it would be a warehouse situation, right? But everything's
good. I have I have a lot of good memories from Elden Ring, but I think my favorite is when I realized that any enemy in the game, boss or regular enemy, grunt, anything, if they're not on patrol, if they're just standing still waiting for you to approach to attack, any of those enemies, you can sneak up behind them. They won't react. You can cast a poison spell. They won't react. And then however long it takes, you can just whittle down their health that way. That's any amazing. Bosses... Mid bosses, grunts, it works on any enemy that is not patrolling.
I mean, it feels good discovering that like cheese works and it's going to get you past some of the parts that you would struggle on. I think that's a great, I love cheating in games.
That's like God of War opening the portal and you mysteriously healed, right?
You heal at the portals. Beautiful. It's so
thank
helpful.
You.
Okay, that brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. But first, we have an email from John. Or the Game Scoop historian, as Justin sometimes calls him. But, says, I wanted to send in some stats for 2022's Video Game 20 Questions. So this is your Game Scoop Wrapped 2022. You've played 47 games of 20 Questions this year. Mm-hmm. 32 resulted in a win. That's a win rate of 68%.
It's not great this year.
Hmm.
68%.
I mean, do we have the stat of last year we can compare it to?
You have asked a total of 954 questions so far this year.
It's a lot of words.
The quickest game occurred in episode 679, Tina's last episode as an IGN employee. The game was Final Fantasy X. You guessed it in 6 questions.
Yep.
Nice.
Longest win streak of the year was 5. You also had a 5-game losing streak. That's tied with your worst losing streaks in history. Episodes 696, 697, 698, 699, and the lost episode in between that. Mm-hmm. Those were all losses. It was Batman Arkham City, Splinter Cell Conviction, Mischief Makers, Time Crisis, and Dante's Inferno.
Wow, you guys had Mischief Makers?
So difficult.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
You would have got it.
Yuke Troublemakers.
See, he would have got it. He knows the Japanese name.
Justin played the most games, 42. Sam played 41 games.
Nice.
And with that, your suggestion this week comes from James in Galway, Ireland. Per, do you think I'm pronouncing that correctly? Galway? Is that how they would pronounce it?
My Irish is a little rusty.
Germany is adjacent to Ireland.
It's closer to Ireland than where I'm from.
That's right. You can almost walk there.
It might not be.
It is.
It's a little closer.
Okay.
With that, let the questioning begin.
Because since Damon invited me, he probably invited me because it's like some game where he thinks
Pear thinks it's a meta.
I either reviewed it, or it's a Nintendo 64 game, or it's something that you guys would never guess because it's like
what year did IGN? What year did you start writing at IGN?
97 or something.
Okay, could Pear have reviewed this game for IGN?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I could have reviewed it at game from 1978.
Well, he knows what I meant.
You know what he means, Dan?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Was this game made in Japan?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. See?
See?
Is it? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But how, look, I've obviously watched this show before. I haven't been on very often, but like, when do you go into specific platforms? Like,
now,
whatever you want. You can
would
do
you
want.
Ask, like, was it released on Nintendo 64?
Oh, specific platforms, I see. No.
We might want to narrow down console manufacturer if it's a multi-platform game. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, then, you know, do the step before then.
Is you ask? Is this a was this an exclusive to a Nintendo console?
Yes.
Wow.
Is it Live Alive? Probably.
Could be the remake though. Yeah. Is this available on the Nintendo Switch?
No.
It's an old one. See, that was very specific though.
Was it exclusive to the Nintendo 64?
So that cuts out every Steam game ever.
Here's what happens. If it's on Switch, it's very easy for us to get. That's why we asked that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, we like to know. Was this a Nintendo 64 game?
No.
Oh,
that's 5.
Wow. Okay. But it is a Nintendo exclusive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
Not just a Nintendo platform release is what that means.
Was this game developed or published by Nintendo?
No.
That was a combo question, though. Did you say or?
Yeah.
Okay. Published or developed by Nintendo. Okay.
No. And the answer is no.
Wow. Okay. So
exclusive Nintendo game. It's not from Nintendo. There's not a lot of those.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about the Atlas games. Like we got the Ogre Battles back then. They did come out on other platforms in some cases.
Is this from before 2010?
Yes.
So Wii, GameCube, got the Boy Advance or DS.
Konami's, all of that. Okay. And okay, I see. Not all the way back to
Zach and Wiki.
It's always Zach and Wiki.
That would be a Capcom game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's not a Nintendo game. It's a Nintendo exclusive, not made by Nintendo, but it was made in Japan. Yeah, that's what we know.
And not published by them.
Was this game on the Nintendo Wii?
Yes.
Yeah, it could be Little King Story. How good was that game?
Yeah, people love that game, right?
Nobody would guess that, though. I don't think Damon would pick something like Little King
Story. He picked Mischief Makers. Also, I don't know, like, Little King Story is one of those games, and I'm not saying it's not good. It's very good, but it's one of those games that's over-indexed in my brain. For, like, I think about that game, like, once a month. For some reason, it just pops into my head. See, I should probably replay that game.
I'm thinking it's more, oh, no, we said made in Japan. I was like, going in the direction of stuff like Boom Blocks and, like, kind of weird, iconic Wii games that are forgotten, but, you know, were kind of synonymous with the platform.
Was this game especially reliant on motion controls?
Yes.
There was that Sega, there was those Sega shooters.
They were everywhere.
The Conduit or whatever it was called.
That was a US game, I think.
Damon, I hope this is not one of the bargain bin games. There's so many bad motion control games on the platform. It's like, remember Carnival Games? And like they remade that into 50 different games.
What's the one that was just board games? That was on NPD top 10 all the time?
Games to play on a Tuesday, games to play on a Wednesday.
Solitaire.
So motion control games. So obviously, again, we had lots of weird, like, we had a Dead Space motion control game, but not made in
Japan.
Was
this part of a series?
Yeah. Well,
it's not Zach and Wiki.
It's part of a series. So yes,
Nintendo.
Yeah.
Did Nintendo make Link's crossbow training, or was that made by a third somebody else?
No,
they definitely published it.
Published and made.
I bet it's that Dead Space game because that's a meta.
But that's not made in Japan. Who made that? Nspace or someone like that, right?
But this is like some weird motion Wii spinoff. Or it's like Resident Evil 4, right?
So let's think about Japanese devs that were active on Wii. So Capcom. That's, you know, Konami was still making more than pachinko machines.
Mm-hmm.
Sega went nuts with
crazy on that.
That's what I'm saying, man. There was that Sega game. They had those two Red FPS Steel? Games.
That's Ubisoft.
They had those two what?
They had these two FPS games on Wii. They're like Red Steel, but they're not. They're made by Sega.
Huh.
I don't know.
I don't remember those.
Damon, let's see. Where do we go with this?
Was Zach and Wiki a thing before or no? Like you threw out Zach and Wiki and now you're dismissing it, but that's...
We just dismissed it.
How did we dismiss it?
What was the last question we asked? Nobody knows.
Well, I guess
it was if it was part of a series. Yeah. And Damon
Zach
said,
and Wiki's not
basically.
Part of a series.
Yeah.
We dismissed it.
Okay. You're right. Okay, that's true.
Is this a Capcom published game?
No.
No.
Okay.
That's 11.
Same question, Sega.
No.
Oh boy.
Okay. It's Japanese.
Who did House of the Dead Overkill?
Well, that would be Sega, right?
Are they House of the Dead? They're House of the Dead, Sega.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Again, who
Well,
else?
It could be Koei Tecmo. There's a million Koei Tecmo games.
Yeah.
Motion control though.
Yeah.
Probably some kind of Dynasty Warrior something or other. Well, you waggle that control all around. Well,
you know, obviously the Dark Metroid was published by Nintendo, but it was made by Tecmo.
Yeah.
And that had pointer controls.
This is an interesting... What about, like, Excite Truck? Was that all Nintendo?
That's Nintendo published, yeah. There was... what else was there?
Blue Ocean?
Italian Walls. They published that, too.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Endless Ocean is not bad.
Endless Ocean, Deep Cut.
But Nintendo did it.
Did they?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
I mean, I believe you.
What about Project Hammer?
Project Hammer got canceled. That never came out.
What about Disaster Day of Crisis?
Okay, so Disaster Day of Crisis also didn't come
out. Sin and Punishment 2?
That came out, and that was published by Nintendo.
Disaster Day of Crisis came out in Europe, right?
Did it? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Was there an Earth Defense Force on the...
Keep on mentioning games, because then we can ask if we mention the game.
Yeah. Oh, I see. That's a good strategy.
Yeah.
Well, there's all the monkey balls. That's part of a series. But Monkey Ball has motion and tilt controls.
Do you play as a human in this game?
But they're Sega.
Yeah, that's right. They're Sega.
Yes, you play as a human in this game.
What does that mean? Why did you put the emphasis on you when you answered us?
Well, in the game like Pikmin, you are kind of humanoid, but the main stars are little carrot people.
Yeah.
Maybe it's what's with the Minions game that we talked about.
He wouldn't do that to us.
That wasn't for Wii, though.
He wouldn't do that to us.
No, it's called Overlord.
Oh, that one.
Oh, yeah. Overlord was pretty cool.
Oh, there was a bunch of digital Wii games at the time, like I don't know. Ninja Plus, stuff like that.
I think it could be Little King Story.
Really? That's awesome.
I don't know. I don't even remember. I don't even remember. We haven't eliminated Square Enix. So we know it's not Sega or Capcom.
Oh,
Square, yeah.
Final Fantasy.
Part of a series, though. Did Little King Story have any other games?
I think it got a sequel. I don't actually think
we also got the stupid Dragon Quest pointer games too.
Yep. Motion controls for Final Fantasy. What was that?
Dragon Quest Heroes something? No, what were the weird pointer ones? I didn't play those.
Like they're first person, weird pointer ones.
Yeah,
like the Golem.
Yeah, the
like
stupid slasher you had to like. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
It was really bad.
Yeah,
right?
Dragon Quest Monsters, right?
Was it?
Is that what it's called?
No,
that's the DS games where that's the collect DS and games. That's like their Pokemon clone thing.
Oh.
Is this a Square Enix game?
Is this a Square Enix game? No.
Damon, have we mentioned this series yet?
No. And that's 15.
Great. Cool.
Wow, you really did a nasty one there. Evil
We mentioned a lot of series.
Heck yeah. Only Bomberman is left.
Well, but that's not a
Bomberman
motion control game. What about Hudson? We're just making Mario parties.
Yeah, Hudson.
So
but it could still
heavy
be
heavy motion controls.
Yeah. Since you guys are struggling, I'm just saying something. Sometimes a game is part of a series, even though it's not really known as a series. Just saying that out loud.
I mean, we appreciate that. I think we get it. Like
that's like Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles. Yeah, like if they hadn't been,
we're picking up.
Is this an adventure game?
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't call it that.
Okay.
Damn.
I was thinking of the. What about the Trauma Under the Knife?
Oh, Trauma Center.
Trauma Center
is pretty good.
Phoenix Wright.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that would
those
be
are
obviously
on,
part of
yeah.
Series.
That's a big.
But Trauma
series.
Center though.
Trauma
there
Center.
A Trauma Center. That's not bad.
But they're multiple.
Mostly DS. But then they came. There were some that came.
Yeah, you got to kill those polyps.
Yeah.
And then there's also puzzle games like Meteos and stuff like that, but I don't know what was on the
Wii.
And then there's like there's indie games like the one with the but they're usually US.
Oh.
The spider web one?
Bastard.
World
of Goo.
World of Goo, but that's not in it's not Japanese made.
It's not Japanese. No. Oh, that's right. That was Oh, that would have matched everything though, because it's part of this odd series of a universe.
What is it you played as a human though? Because Trauma Center is clearly all humans, right?
Yeah,
you're just assuming.
But
maybe you're like an animal surgeon.
And that's a good game idea, animal surgeon. And, and you're an animal doing surgery on humans.
What was the other one?
Like, you have these like bare hands. You're like, I can't.
Hoofs.
We're talking about the original Wii, right? Not
Hoofs
the Wii.
Like trying to hold a scalpel.
Yeah. Original Wii.
I don't know. I'm out of ideas.
Because stuff like Zombie U was Wii U, obviously.
Yeah.
Ubisoft always had strange games.
Is this a game about killing?
No.
Maybe. Was this like a party, like a Wii, when you think about the Wii being very like mainstream and like families and people getting around partying and playing Wii games. Was this a game like that?
No, probably not.
Shit.
So you have a question and a guess. I'll say you have not mentioned the game, but you have mentioned the developer and publisher.
What?
Okay, but we asked certain ones whether they were the publisher and you said no.
Yeah, we but so maybe it's Konami, because there we didn't eliminate Konami, but we did eliminate Capcom, Square Enix, and Sega.
But I mean, was there and whoever made Trauma Center?
There was no BS Castlevania. There was no BS Contra. There was no.
Did they make some like crappy Wii? Oh, there was Metal Gear.
There was the Metal Gear. I don't think so, but there was a Castlevania on the Wii in the form. There's a fighting game, Castlevania fighting game.
But not motion controls.
No. And then there was the Castlevania Adventure remake that was a downloadable. There are some downloadable Japanese games.
Hmm.
Motion controls are confusing.
Yeah, that's the part. Like, I keep thinking of, like, you know, trailers where people jump around on their couch. Like,
yeah, exactly. I don't think we're getting this one.
I got nothing. This is a really nasty one, man.
Yeah. I mean, we mentioned Bomberman, like, could it be a Bomberman game?
No, I don't think there was a Bomberman.
No motion controls. Well, I guess, yeah. There was that exploration-based game. I forget which console that was on. That was before that. There was.
I don't know.
That was on the N64, I think. There were like.
What about
two
like a? What about ooh? What about like a dance? What about like DDR?
Just Dance.
Like what? So. Yeah, like a Just Dance.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're definitely. There are a couple of those.
What is there a Square Enix Final Fantasy game? Because did we mention that series before I asked that question? Yeah, I think we did. Because there's like Crystal Chronicles stuff, right?
Was there some weird snowboarding stuff too that you used the Wii balance board for, like a Snowball Kids spin-off or something? Damon is smiling.
You don't kill in this game.
but you play as humans in Snowboard Kids.
I don't know. We can do a Hail Mary. Is this like a puzzle game, racing game, or a? If we want.
Damon gave us such a big hint that we mentioned the developer but didn't eliminate them. But I don't know who that leaves us with.
Square Enix.
I mean, we eliminated Square Enix, but like mentioned we Tecmo.
No, that'd be Atlas 2, which would match Snowball Kids. There was Koei Tecmo. There was.
What did Koei Tecmo ever make? Like, what did they make?
All the diamonds? I don't know. Nobody knows.
Well, they just made the bad Metroid for Nintendo.
All right. Well, I think we have to give this one up.
We should give up? We should guess. Like, is it, we have one question and a guess?
Yeah, you have one question.
Is it a sports game?
No.
Okay, it's not Snowball Kids.
Is there a brawler we could guess?
No.
Is it Elebits? I'm going to make the guess.
Yes.
Is it Elebits?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yes.
Who published that?
Seriously.
Konami.
That was Konami. Okay. Oh, my God.
Konami. It was a launch game.
Oh, thank you.
Elebits.
Wow.
A launch.
Oh, my God.
Launch Wii game.
We should have asked if it was a launch game.
Yeah.
We forget to ask.
I wouldn't have gone to Elebits though. I kind of purged that from my mind. That was kind of cute. There was
not really what the game looks like. This footage.
Yeah,
there it is.
You point at the screen and you go, "I wish these controls were better." And you pick up things and throw them around and shoot little crystals. And
I mean, it looks fun in this creatures. Showing of it.
This looks like a drunk Ghostbuster.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's my favorite game pitch, drunk Ghostbusters.
You know, it was a really good proof of concept, but it did expose that the pointer controls needed work and like constantly had to reset. And like it was a game you wanted to give to kids, and when you gave it to a kid, they would inevitably have a really terrible time with it because of the centering.
Damon, the next Damies, we need to have trailers for Animal Surgeon. And drunk Ghostbusters.
Okay. Wow.
That's what we'll look for.
Okay.
Okay, this was a deep cut.
World premiere.
Sound like great games.
Animal Surgeon.
Pear, I'm pretty sure Matt Casamassina gave this an 8.5.
He totally loved it. He was just staring at the screen, smiling the whole time.
You just gave me such weird like memory PTSD of the centering. I forgot about Wii centering.
Oh man, it got uncentered all the time. Remember, games like put down the remote face down and it goes like
processing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
you got there. Nicely job. You got there on the 20th question.
Jeez.
Elibits.
Yeah.
Did this writer have anything to say about Elibits?
You made a sweat. What did he, like, seriously, explain yourself.
Oh, actually, I think it was called something else in Europe. It's like Elidy.
Really?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So he knew it as a different name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, funny.
Mm. Nicely job.
Whoa, hold on.
James.
Oh, What's the series?
Oh.
There's another one.
It got a sequel on Nintendo DS and a spinoff on iPhone.
You are kidding me.
Yeah.
A DS game? Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, part of the Elibits cinematic universe.
Yes. Sure, sure.
Or LED.
The ECU.
Yeah. They call it Probotector in Europe.
That's Probobits. Not that
thing. Probobits.
Probobits.
Thank you for the suggestion. James from Galway, Ireland. Viewers, if you have your own suggestions for 20 questions, email them to me at the email address gamescoop@ign.com. That is all the scoops that we have for you this week. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Pear. Thank you,
and
Sam.
And for this year.
There's one more scoop we have coming next week.
We have one more episode to
look forward to. We're shooting one early next week before we all go into holiday hibernation for a couple weeks. So please be excited for that. Until then, my name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop. And we're out.
I said I would run away as far as I could go. Teach the dogs to pull a sleigh through the white and drifting snow. You brought home a magic box in time for Christmas Day. I chased stars and busted blocks till the feeling went away. Carpet, ice behind your eyes, on my best behavior till Santa Claus arrives. In another castle, trying to survive the storm that took us all in 1985. You walked out into the wind to warm up Grandma's car, but you never came back in, lost beyond the fog of war. Scrolls unfold in front of me, and I am in control. Wires from the old TV through my hands and to my soul. Needles in the vacuum, ice behind your eyes, on my best behavior till Santa Claus arrives. In another castle, trying to survive the storm that took us all in 1985.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it,
Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Linsky.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.